The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. And today, well, we've got something that might just fundamentally shift how you see the world. We have a fantastic set of sources here.
It's definitely perspective shifting stuff. We're diving into the world of the truly invisible, mostly drawing from Nicholas P. Money's work, particularly microbiology, the architects of life, and also his microbiology. A very short introduction.
And our mission today really is to challenge that view we all have, you know, the human-centric one. We look around, we see us, plants, animals.
The big stuff.
Exactly. But these sources argue quite powerfully that we're not really the main event. We're not just living with tiny microbes. We're living in a world they actually built and still maintain.
They're the architects. The unseen foundation of, well, everything.
So this isn't just about germs in a lab. It's about the fundamental nature of life on Earth.
And it's incredibly relevant, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, think about it. Our health, the climate, farming, even cutting-edge tech like gene editing.
Yeah.
It all connects back to understanding these tiny powerhouses.
We really need to shake off that macro bias, as you called it.
That's the goal. Shed the bias. See the real picture.
So who's our guide on this journey? This Nicholas P. Money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nicholas Money. He's really the perfect person for this. He's a distinguished mycologist, that's someone who studies fungi, and he's a professor over at Miami University in Ohio.
A fungi expert. Interesting.
Very. And he's got this serious credentials, a PhD, rigorous research background, especially in fungal biology.
Okay, so he knows his stuff scientifically. But what makes his books special for this kind of deep dive?
It's his combination, I think. He's got that deep scientific precision, but he also writes like a naturalist. He can tell a story.
Ah, so it's not just dry facts.
Not at all. If you look at his other work, like The Triumph of the Fungi, you see it clearly. He takes this incredibly complex, invisible world and makes it understandable, even, dare I say, entertaining. He makes you feel the importance of this hidden network.
Right. So let's get into the core idea of these books then. The central argument seems simple on the surface. Microscopic life bacteria, viruses, fungi, protists. They're the real bosses.
That's the gist, yeah. They are the planet's master chemists, its engineers. They've been shaping evolution, shaping ecology, since life first sparked, quietly running all the global systems that, you know, let creatures like us even show up later.
But here's the thing that always gets me. How? How can something so ridiculously tiny, like fitting millions on a pinhead, have that kind of planet-wide clout?
Right, that's the mind bender. And the answer really lies in two things. Their sheer unbelievable numbers, the scale, and what Money calls their metabolic virtuosity.
Metabolic virtuosity. Okay, break that down.
Well, think about our metabolism, right? Humans, animals. We need pretty specific stuff. Carbs, fats, proteins. Mostly things ultimately linked to sunlight through plants.
Yeah, pretty standard diet.
But microbes, collectively, their metabolic toolkit is just staggering. They can essentially eat almost anything. Organic stuff, sure. But also inorganic things.
Yeah.
Sulfur, iron, hydrogen gas.
Wait, they eat rocks? Or
yes.
Rats?
Some do.
Yeah.
They can derive energy from chemical reactions involving minerals or gases. They even eat toxic waste sometimes. This incredible biochemical flexibility makes them the planet's absolute essential recyclers.
Yeah.
Nothing goes to waste in their world.
Okay, that's, wow. So the goal of diving into this isn't just cool science facts.
It's a fundamental perspective shift.
Yeah.
If you walk away understanding just how deeply woven the microbial world is into everything, your food, your health, the air you breathe, the soil under your feet, then we've hit the mark.
Right. Let's zoom in then. You mentioned the scale. It's hard to even picture.
It really is. Money really emphasizes this ubiquity. They exist in numbers that are just astronomical.
Like more microbes than stars in the universe kind of numbers.
We're talking biomass and genetic diversity that dwarfs everything else combined by orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
And they're literally everywhere.
Not just like in soil and water.
Oh, no. Miles down in the deepest ocean trenches. Yep. Buried under Antarctic ice. Floating high up in the atmosphere. You bet. Take a sample from basically anywhere on Earth. Sterile environments aside, and they'll be there. They're the background hum of life itself.
We should probably give a nod here to the people who first even let us glimpse this world, right? Like Anton van Leeuwenhoek.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Back in the 17th century, peering through his homemade microscopes, seeing those wee animalcules for the first time, a total revelation.
And then later, the big names like Pasteur and Koch.
Exactly. Louis Pasteur, Robert Koch, 19th century giants. They really established the germ theory of disease, which was revolutionary. It took microbiology from just sort of observing tiny things to being a crucial science for understanding health and disease.
And even the simple ones, like bacteria, they're not actually that simple, are they?
Not at all.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is their complexity, despite their structure. Yeah. Prokaryotes, right? No nucleus, seemingly basic. But they do incredibly sophisticated things. They form these complex communities called biofilms, like tiny microbial cities.
The cities.
Yeah, they cooperate, communicate chemically, build structures, specialize roles. They run complex biochemistry that honestly puts our best labs to shame sometimes.
Okay, that's bacteria. Then there's the really weird stuff, viruses. Are they even alive?
The eternal question. They sit right on that blurry edge, don't they? Money presents them as obligate parasites, essentially just packages of genetic code, maybe RNA or DNA, wrapped in protein. They need a host cell to replicate.
So they're not truly living on their own.
Not in the way a bacterium is. But, and here's the kicker, what's fascinating here is how crucial they are for evolution. They drive change, partly by killing things off, sure, salt to pressure, but maybe, even more importantly, through something called horizontal gene transfer.
Okay, horizontal gene transfer. You mentioned that. Let's pause there. That sounds important. It's not like regular inheritance.
Not at all. Think of regular inheritance as vertical parent to child. Horizontal gene transfer is like sharing genetic blueprints sideways between completely unrelated organisms.
Right.
Bacteria swapping useful genes like trading cards. Viruses can accidentally pick up DNA from one host and inject it into another.
Whoa, so they can just share superpowers instantly.
In evolutionary terms, yeah, pretty much. Combine that rapid gene swapping with their incredibly fast reproduction rates, and you get astonishingly fast evolution and adaptation.
Which connects to antibiotic resistance.
Exactly. That's the mechanism right there. We hit them with an antibiotic. A few microbes happen to have or acquire a resistance gene. They survive, reproduce like crazy, and share that gene horizontally. Suddenly, resistance spreads globally at terrifying speed. It's a massive evolutionary arms race, and honestly, we're struggling to keep up.
Okay, that's sobering. But here's where it gets really interesting, perhaps. After all the doom about resistance, money pivots, right? The vast majority aren't enemies.
Not even close. They are absolutely essential allies. This is crucial. We are, as he puts it, walking ecosystem.
The ecosystem.
Trillions of microbial cells live in and on your body.
Yeah.
They outnumber your own human cells, maybe 10 to 1. And this microbiome, this community, it's not just along for the ride. It helps digest your food. It makes vital vitamins like K and some B vitamins.
And things our own bodies can't make.
Precisely. And maybe most critically, our microbiome helps train and regulate our immune system from birth. It teaches our defenses what's friend and what's foe, what to attack, what to ignore.
Oh, I'm not really just me. I'm like a team, a collective.
That's a great way to put it, a composite entity, entirely reliant on these trillions of tiny passengers for normal function.
Okay, that's personal health. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, their role goes way beyond just us.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They are the literal pillars supporting entire ecosystems. They run the planet's fundamental biogeochemical cycles, carbon cycle, nitrogen cycle, sulfur cycle, all driven primarily by microbial action.
Like the nitrogen cycle, I remember that from school. Bacteria are involved.
Hugely involved. Nitrogen gas makes up most of our atmosphere, but plants can't use it directly. Certain bacteria, nitrogen-fixing bacteria, are the only organisms that can convert that atmospheric nitrogen into ammonia, a form plants can use, without them. No fertilizer, no modern agriculture as we know it. Plants would starve. Life would collapse.
Wow. Okay. And this is where the author's specialty, fungi, comes in strongly, too.
Yes. Money's expertise as a mycologist really illuminates this. He talks a lot about mycorrhizal fungi.
Myco what now?
Mycorrhizal fungi. These are fungi that form these incredible partnerships with plant roots. They essentially extend the plant's root system, sometimes by miles underground, dramatically boosting its ability to suck up water and crucial nutrients like phosphorus.
So the fungus helps the plant eat.
Exactly. And in return, the plant gives the fungus sugars it makes through photosynthesis. It's a classic symbiosis. But it's more than that. These fungal networks connect multiple plants, even different species, underground. They form this vast communication and resource sharing network. People sometimes call it the wood wide web.
The wood wide web. I've heard that. So fungi are like the internet cables of the forest.
In a way, yeah. Facilitating nutrient flow, maybe even sending warning signals between trees. They're like localized engineers tuning the soil ecosystem.
Okay, so from local soil engineers, let's zoom out again, planetary scale engineering. You mentioned microbes built the world.
Money argues, compellingly, that microbes performed the single most transformative act of planetary engineering in Earth's entire history. This goes way beyond symbiosis.
What was that?
It's called the Great Oxidation Event. Happened roughly 2.4 billion years ago. Before that, Earth's atmosphere had virtually no free oxygen.
Right. Life was anaerobic. Didn't need oxygen.
Exactly. Then, these ancient microbes called cyanobacteria evolved a radical new trick, photosynthesis, using sunlight to split water and releasing oxygen as a waste product.
Waste product. Oxygen.
To them, yes. And for most other life forms on Earth at the time, oxygen was incredibly toxic, a poison. So these tiny cyanobacteria started pumping out this toxic gas.
So they caused the world's first and maybe biggest pollution crisis.
You could see it that way. It likely caused a mass extinction of anaerobic life. But that oxygen slowly built up, changed the atmosphere, changed ocean chemistry, and ultimately paved the way for the evolution of all complex oxygen-breathing life, including us.
So it's owe our very breath to ancient bacterial pollution.
In a nutshell, yes. They literally terraformed the planet for us. They architected the conditions for our existence.
Yeah.
And their descendants continue to show us the limits of life. Think about extremophiles.
Ugh, the ones living in crazy places.
Right. Microbes thriving in boiling volcanic hot springs, or deep sea hydrothermal vents under crushing pressure, or in super salty lakes or acidic pools. They show us just how incredibly adaptable life can be.
Which has implications for looking for life elsewhere.
Absolutely. If life exists on Mars or Europa or Enceladus, the smart money says it's going to be microbial, probably something akin to an extremophile here.
Okay, this is huge. Let's try to crystallize some key themes then. What does money really want us to take away? Theme one seems to be the invisible majority and maybe our own bias.
Definitely. He calls it the tyranny of scale. It forces a kind of humility, doesn't it? The actual biological reality is Earth is a microbial planet. We, the big things, are kind of an afterthought.
He says we're just occasional macroscopic elaborations. That sounds a bit dismissive.
Well, maybe provocative. But yeah. His point isn't about complexity or intelligence. It's about foundations. Look at the biomass, the sheer number of organisms, the metabolic power driving the planet, the evolutionary history. It's overwhelmingly microbial.
So our focus on large life is just perspective bias. Because we are large.
Largely, yes. We're an abstraction running on their operating system, maybe.
Correct.
Our complexity doesn't negate the fact that they laid the groundwork and still run the essential systems.
Okay. Theme two, moving beyond simple labels, like good versus bad germs.
Yes, the inadequacy of simple distinctions. It's all about context, isn't it? Think about E. coli. It's a vital symbiont in your gut helping you out. But if it gets into your bloodstream, potentially lethal. Same organism, different location, different outcome.
So it's not the microbe itself, it's the relationship, the ecology.
Precisely, which leads to a huge question. How do we manage this microbial world? Trying to sterilize everything is impossible and probably harmful. We need a more nuanced approach, thinking ecologically, not just waging war on germs.
Right. And theme three, this deep interdependence, we rely on them for everything. But our actions, like antibiotic overuse, have consequences. The double-edged sword.
It really is. We depend on them. Yet our attempts to control them, especially with antibiotics, have triggered this massive evolutionary backlash, the resistance crisis we talked about. It's stark proof of their power to adapt faster than we can innovate sometimes. Nature pushes back.
These ideas are so powerful. Are there specific phrases or quotes from the books that really stick?
Oh, absolutely. Money has a way with words. One core idea that just flips the script is, microbes are not the enemies of life, they are life.
That stops you short, doesn't it? Moves away from the whole battle metaphor.
Completely. It forces you to see their integration, their fundamental role, not just their potential harm.
And the one about history.
Yes. The history of life is largely a tale of microbial innovation, punctuated by occasional macroscopic elaborations.
Occasional macroscopic elaborations. There it is again. It really reframes evolution, doesn't it? Puts the big innovations squarely with the microbes.
It does. It gives credit where it's due, historically speaking, and maybe the most personally relevant one for today. We are not individuals, but walking ecosystems.
That one really hits home, especially with all the microbiome research now. It just captures that paradigm shift perfectly. The blurriness between us and them.
Yeah, the idea that your health, maybe even your mood or thoughts, are tied to this community within you. It's revolutionary.
So let's bring this down to earth. Practical applications. How does knowing all this actually change things for us day to day? Like, should I stop using hand sanitizer?
Huh. Well, maybe rethink overusing hyper antibacterial everything. It's about smart hygiene. not attempting total sterility, which is impossible anyway. Focus on washing hands with plain soap and water when needed, but maybe don't try to nuke every microbe in sight.
And nurturing the good guys.
Exactly. That's key. Think about your diet. Things like fiber-rich foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains feed your beneficial gut microbes. Fermented foods, too, like yogurt, kimchi, sauerkraut. They can introduce beneficial species. Be a good landlord to your internal ecosystem.
Okay, that makes sense. And thinking bigger, environmentally.
Recognizing the microbial dimension is critical for stewardship. Understanding how microbes drive nutrient cycles helps with sustainable agriculture. And we already use them actively in bioremediation.
Bioremediation, using microbes to clean up pollution.
Yep. We deploy specific microbes that can literally eat oil spills or break down toxic chemicals, using their ancient chemistry to solve our very modern messes.
And professionally. Biotech seems like it's all built on this.
Fundamentally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Modern biotechnology is largely applied microbiology. We use bacteria like E. coli as tiny factories to produce medicines. Insulin is a classic example.
Wow.
And think about CRISPR, the gene editing tool that's changing everything.
Yeah.
That system was discovered by studying how bacteria defend themselves against viruses. It's literally a bacterial immune system that we've borrowed and repurposed. We're constantly learning from and leveraging their ancient biological machinery.
Okay, wrapping up. What's the one thing that really stands out most to you from this whole dive?
For me, I think it's still that great oxidation event, the idea that these microscopic things engineer the very air we breathe. It's just humbling on a cosmic scale. Mm-hmm. Puts humanity's place in perspective.
It really does for me. So what does this all mean? I think the biggest takeaway is that microbial literacy isn't just interesting science anymore. It's becoming essential for navigating the modern world.
Essential how?
We simply cannot tackle the huge challenges we face. Climate change, future pandemics, food security for billions, antibiotic resistance, without understanding and ideally working with the microbial world. They are fundamental players in all these global systems. We need to understand the architects to maintain the building, you know? Understand the architects. I like that. It really is a staggering thought, isn't it? This idea that you, your own body, is this bustling ecosystem. Trillions of passengers along for the ride, constantly interacting with you. Maybe the final question for everyone listening is, does realizing that change how you define yourself? Where do you end and the environment or these microbes begin? Something to ponder.
Definitely something to ponder.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.